that I'm glad that when we walk away from God, as the Bible says, we've all done. We all, as sheep, have gone astray. But I'm thankful God does not look at us and say they can come back whenever they want to, but God comes looking for us because He loves us so much as our shepherd. I'm thankful we serve a good shepherd this morning. As the choir comes down, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28. Matthew, chapter number 28. And once you find that, if you would all stand to your feet, we'll get your blood moving a little bit this morning. We'll just read a few verses here at the end of Matthew 28. These are very, very familiar verses to all of us. Now, I'll make a confession that when my preacher used to preach this message, I would tune him out because I did not want to be challenged this way to be able to go and share the gospel with other people. But today, I'm not going to be long at all today. I just want to give you a challenge out of God's Word and ask you this question. Will you go? Will you go? Find your place in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. God, we just thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for the power that's still in it. God, I pray that You would open up each heart to receive Your Word today, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, and help it to work in us today and change us and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. This, of course, the passage that we just read is after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and right before He ascended into heaven. And this is the passage that you and I call the Great Commission. Everybody's heard of the Great Commission. This is where the Great Commission is found. Now, find your place in verse 19 and verse 20, because there are three verbs here that basically tell us what the Great Commission is all about. There's three verbs that show us what the Great Commission is. Number one, it says go. Verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or make disciples of all nations. So the first thing you need to be doing is going. The second thing is baptizing. And the third thing is found in verse 20, teaching. So the Great Commission, if it was to give a summary, it is those three things: going, baptizing, and teaching. Okay, so we go to evangelize, we teach to edify, and we baptize to identify. So those are the three things that the Great Commission is all about. But the one that I want to talk about today is not simply baptizing or teaching, but the first thing that is involved in fulfilling the Great Commission is the word G-O, go. And that is the first word that you find in verse 19, is go. Because if we're not going, you can't baptize. If we're not going, you can't teach. So I would say the most important part of the Great Commission is the first part, going. So let me ask you a question this morning. When is the last time you personally shared the gospel with somebody? When is the last time you personally shared the gospel with a coworker, neighbor, friend, or family member? You may be sitting here, and in the front of your mind, you're saying, "I've never shared the gospel with not one person." I can tell you something, you're not alone this morning. The majority of Christians in the day in which we're living today have never personally shared the gospel with anybody. And I'm not here to put you down if you haven't. But what I am here to do is to challenge you, are you willing to start doing it? Because that's the first thing you have to do. You've got to be willing to say, "I want to. I am willing to if God can use me." So if you're willing to start doing it, if you've never done it, God can challenge you this morning and God can give you something, the ability to do it. You know, one preacher said this. He said, the two greatest temptations I face every single day is the temptation not to pray and the temptation not to share the gospel with lost people around me. You know, every single one of us make excuses why we don't pray every day. You know, we do get busy. We have other stuff to do, but equally the same excuses we make for not praying is the same excuses we make for not sharing the gospel when God opens up the door for us to share the gospel. And this is, I'll just go ahead and tell you, this is one of the excuses I use. They'll come to me. If they want to hear the gospel, they'll come to me. You know, you drive down the road, here's our big church just sitting here. If they want to hear the gospel, they'll come to church. They will come in. They know where we are located. They'll come to us. We don't have to go to them. And that's one of the excuses that we use for not sharing the gospel. They'll just come to us and ask. But you know, I've been studying Matthew's gospel for the last week or so, and I read this verse in Matthew chapter number 9, and it's convicted me the last few weeks. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." In other words, Jesus says there's plenty of lost people out there, but what there's not enough of is laborers to go tell them about the gospel. And then he says this. He says, "Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." In other words, this is what you need to pray. Not God, send them to us. God, send me to them. And you see, I found out by reading that sometimes we pray the wrong way. I don't know about you, I hope you've been praying, "God, send people to our church." But you know what we ought to be praying? "God, send us to them." We pray so often, "God, send them." But when is the last time you personally pray to God, "God, send me"? You see, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah caught a glimpse of God in all of His glory in Isaiah chapter number 6. Verse number 8, and the Bible says that the Holy Trinity is there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah is just absolutely in awe, I believe, on his face. Because there's holy God and he's here, a sinner. But Isaiah hears a conversation going on amongst them. And the question gets raised, "Who will go for us?" That's what they said. "Who will go for us?" And all of a sudden you hear a voice from Isaiah saying, "Here am I, send me." He said, "God, if you want somebody, here I am. Send me." Not God, "He looks pretty good over there, you can send him." No, "Here I am. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm right here. Send me." And you see, that's exactly what we need to be praying. Not God, send them to us. God, send me to them. You see, we all get in the habit of telling God what we want when we pray. Every single one of us do. And that's not a bad thing. He wants us to. But when is the last time we ask God, "What do you want? God, what do you want? What do you want from me? Do you want me to go to my coworker? Do you want me to go to my neighbor that lives right there? Do you want me to go halfway across the world and share the gospel? What do you want from me, God?" That's what He wants us to do, is to ask Him what He wants. And so that's the question I want to pose to you this morning. If God were asking you the question this morning, "Who will go?" Are you willing to look at God today and say, "Here I am. Send me wherever you want to go." And be willing to obey Him whatever He says. And the first thing that I want you to see, I'm just going to give you three quick points this morning about our text here about the Great Commission. The first thing is, it is a primary command. A primary command. John MacArthur, he said, "Our primary responsibility is summed up in one verb here in verse 19. Go and make disciples." That is the primary reason the church is here. He says, if we're saved for fellowship, then we'd be taken to heaven where fellowship is perfect. If we were saved for the thing of praise and worship, we would be taken to heaven where praise and worship is unhindered and perfect. But the reason we are left here is in order that we might make disciples of all nations. You see, the gospel and this Great Commission was so important to Jesus that it was literally the last thing Jesus physically said to His disciples before He left earth and ascended into heaven. Everybody remembers Acts chapter number 1. Jesus said, "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he said that, the Bible said a cloud received him into heaven. That was the last thing Jesus said. Which shows you it was one of the most important things he wanted us to remember. That we are to be his witnesses. Now I want you to think about this. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that those disciples standing around that day, they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. Because if they didn't, you and I probably wouldn't have this. If they didn't, you and I might not have ever heard the gospel, but because of those men and women standing around Jesus and they had a passion to share the gospel, you and I stand here 2,000 years later, millions of miles away, getting together every Sunday and preach the gospel. Because those men and women were faithful to share it. I want you to think about that. How big of a responsibility that was for just that tiny group of men and women that believed in Christ. I mean, they're in the middle of the Middle East. They didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They didn't have social media. And here's Jesus looking at them saying, you're going to take this message to everybody on the face of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. Peter went back and said, I'm going to bring it to Jerusalem. A few years later, Philip took it to Samaria. A few years later, the Apostle Paul got called, took it to a different continent of Europe. And then a few thousand years later, a man brought it from Europe to America. And then a few years later, it got to your house and it got to my house. Simply because those men in a small place called Israel in the Middle East were willing to take the gospel to people who needed to hear it. And because they did, it eventually got to us. And there's people still all over this world today who've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite gospel groups, they sing a song called Love Them to Jesus. And this is a quote from their song. He says, we often gather with good intentions, letting our traditions be our guide, but we lose the vision that the greatest mission could be our brother standing by our side. In other words, we can get so caught up in doing the things of life, doing even the things of church, that we forget that the reason we are here is the mission of reaching lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the very mission why this building is here. That is the very mission why the Holy Spirit indwells us. That is the very mission of this body that is gathered together every week. To go out to your job and share the gospel. To go out to your family and friends and share the gospel. That is our mission. And we don't need to forget that that is the primary command that Jesus gave us. Because every single one of us, including me, get so wrapped up in the things of everything that we forget that is the most important thing Jesus told us to do. Share the gospel with lost people. So not only, number one, is it's a primary command, but number two, it is a very personal command. It's personal to every single one of us. Now, David, let me call you out. I love you. Let's say you're at home today. You're taking a nap. You hear a knock at the front door. You open the front door, and there's Jesus, the Son of God, standing at your front door. Number one, you're going to fall on your face. But if he looks and says, David, you see that house over there? There's a lost man and a lost woman over there. And I want you to go tell them the gospel. Would you have the nerve to look at Jesus and say, can't you get somebody else? You know, Jesus, I'm watching the game. Can't this wait until 6 o'clock or something? No. You see, if Jesus were to walk up to every single one of us and say, I want you to go share the gospel with that person, and that person. I don't think there's one of us in here that would have the nerve to say, can't you get them? No, we would all say, if that's what you want me to do, I'll go do it. But so often he does that. Through the Bible he says go. Through the Holy Spirit he says go. But so often we say no. Maybe we're not qualified. We're not filled with the right stuff to be able to do it. But when Jesus says go, he's going to equip us to do whatever he tells us to do. And you see, the reason we need to be going, it's because everybody's a sinner. Everybody born in this world is a sinner, and everybody needs salvation. There's not one person in this world who doesn't need to hear the good news of Christ. You see, like I said, we can make excuses for not fulfilling the Great Commission, but there's one excuse we cannot make, is that we don't know what the word go means. It is very simple. He said go, and we can't say, now what's go mean? Because every single one of us have used the word go, haven't we? Now listen, I know you have. You're sitting at a red light, and there's a car in front of you at the red light, and that light's red, but then it turns green. And 3 seconds go by, and that person in front of you hadn't put on the thing to go. What in the world are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and be like, honey, ain't this awesome? I mean, the light's green and this dude ain't even going. What a day. No, this is what you're going to do. You're going to beat the horn and yell, go! Some of y'all unsanctified people may not, but I do. Now listen, every single one of us know what the word go means because I've seen a lot of people yelling it in their car. Go! And you may add some words at the end that don't need to be spoken. Like, go, please. I'm sure that's how it goes. But we all know what the word go means. And you know, we need to see this verse in verse 19 as Jesus not speaking to Peter, James, and John, although He was. But we can see it because this Bible is alive. This Bible is inspired. This Bible is not something that was just written 2,000 years ago. It's something that is relevant for us today. It's something that's written for us today. And if we view verse 19 as Jesus literally looking directly at you and saying, go, that's what we need to start doing. Because this is God's letter to you and me, and He's telling each and every one of us, go, go. You see, we all play a part in the Great Commission. You don't have to go to Asia. You don't have to go to Africa. You can stay right where you are and play a part in the Great Commission. But if God is calling you to go halfway across the world, just say yes. But how are you playing a part in the Great Commission? One of my favorite preachers, he's going on to be with the Lord now. His name was Harold Seitler. He said, the Great Commission is that we must go. The world will not come to us. We're going to have to go to the world. And the world may be our next door neighbor's house, or it very well could be halfway across the world. Wherever it is, we are commanded to go. There are many ways to do this. You can promote missions at home. You can raise money to send to missionaries. You can challenge young people in your church to start going and sharing the gospel. There are many ways to obey the Great Commission. And he says, how are you playing a part? How are you personally, not just your church, not just your family members, but how are you personally playing a part in fulfilling the Great Commission? Because that's what Jesus has called us to do. Now, I told you I'm moving real quick this morning. There's a primary command, a personal command. Thirdly, what I want you to see is this. There's a pressing command. Another word for pressing is urgent. In other words, it is very urgent that we don't sit around and say, yeah, I know He says go, but I'm going to wait a few years till everything's right with my job, to where I have my 401k set in order and all this stuff, and then I'll go. No, He didn't look at them and say wait. The only thing they were to wait on was the Holy Spirit coming to indwell them. Then they would have the power to go. And once we have the Holy Spirit, the command is simple. Go now. Go now. I told you this a while ago. But the reason it is so pressing is, man, every single person that is born into this world is born as an enemy of God. They are born as a sinner. They are born as unreconciled to God. We're not together with God. Every single person. Do you know what that means? Unless that person is reconciled to God, they will die and go to hell. Every person. And you know, the only way to be reconciled to God is one way. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only one way for somebody to be reconciled. There's no other way. Whether you live in Africa, Asia, Antarctica, you cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ. And that is why it is so pressing and urgent for us to go wherever God calls us to go and share the gospel. Because it's not that they don't need it. Everybody needs it. Every single person needs the gospel. And Jesus says, listen, it's your responsibility to take it to them. That's why we're here. Because it is our responsibility to take the gospel. Now let me put it in perspective for you. I want you to see this. There's our world map. There is a country down there that it's pointing to called Indonesia. Indonesia is a very large Islamic country. Now listen, Indonesia has 209 people in their country. 209 million people. Y'all are thinking, my goodness, that's small. Indonesia has 209 million people in their country. And 13% of those people are Muslim. 13% are Muslim. That equals 27 million Muslims in the country of Indonesia. And by the way, Muslims are lost. They need the gospel too. 27 million Muslims right now in the country of Indonesia are lost. And unless they're reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. 27 million people, that's just in one generation, that if they don't get right with God through Christ, they'll go to hell. Do we care? 27 million that would just go to hell, drop off into hell in one generation. That's the United States of America. Our country, we've all grown up in, that we all love, that we're all proud to be in. 329 million people live in our country. 329 million people live in our country. Let me go out on a huge limb. This isn't a fact. This is just me throwing out something for you. Let's say 75% of people in our country are Christian, which is highly unlikely. Let's just say that though. That would be awesome. Let's say 75% of people in our country are Christians. That leaves 25% in our country that are not Christian, that are lost, that aren't reconciled to God. You know how many people that would be if just 25% are lost? 82 million people. 82 million people right now, per se, there's probably more in our country that are lost. And if they're not reconciled to God through Christ, will die and go to hell. That is one generation. So one generation in Indonesia, 27 million people. In America, 82 million people. That's over 100 million people that unless they obey the gospel, accept Christ, will die and go to hell in one generation. 100 million people. That unless they come to Christ, will die and go to hell. Let me put it in a greater perspective for you. That map right there is a map of Gaston County. And the first time I met with the Gaston Baptist Association, our president, his name is Thane Kendall. First time I met with him, he gave me this map and he gave us these circles, and I'll explain them to you in a second. It's hard to see, but every single church that's in our association is listed right there. They're all in that area of Gaston County. You see area 89 up there? That circle on the top left? That's in our area. Our church is right there on the right of that circle. Well, they did the stats there in area 89. In area 89, there are 2,800 houses. 2,800 houses in that area. That's a 3-mile radius. And of those 2,800 houses, 1,882 people are unreached and don't go to church anywhere. Of the 2,800, 1,800 people don't go to any of the churches around here. All right? That's area 89. Go to the right, area 75, towards Stanley, towards Alexis. That's a 1.5-mile radius. In that 1.5-mile radius, there are 1,700 houses. Of those 1,700 houses, 1,200 are unreached. So, we're just not talking about Indonesia now. We're talking about where you and I live, right there, where this church is located, off over here, are 1,800 houses that are unreached. Don't go to church. And for the most part, I'm sure most of them are lost. to the right, Alexis and Stanley, 1,100 are unreached, and 1,100 could be lost. That's not America. That's not Indonesia. That's not Asia. That's Gaston County. Add that up. In a 4.5-mile radius, 3,000 souls don't go to church anywhere. 3,000 in a 4.5-mile radius. Now, I'm not... God, if God wants to call you to Indonesia and if God wants to plant a seed in your heart today, that would be absolutely amazing for you to be a missionary in Asia, Africa. Wherever God sends you, you go. But can I tell you, we're right here in our home, and there's at least 3,000 people in a 4.5-mile radius of this church that need to be coming. And not only coming to church, I'm not so worried about that. I'm worried about them coming to Christ. Because there's people dying in Gaston County every single day. And if those 3,000 die, they will die and spend eternity in hell. And here is God. He has placed you here. He has placed me here to go out and say, hey, here's the good news. God did not say, Justin, go out and save them. God said, Justin, go out and tell them. It's not our responsibility to save them. But it is our responsibility to say, hey, do you know what this says? You know how simple that is? For us to just get gospel tracts and hand them out. There was a man when I was doing the prison ministry with him. He got saved because he was walking down the side of the road one day and a Christian rode by seeing on the side of the road and said, here you go, sir. And he gave him a gospel tract. And he said he read it and said, I don't want none of that. But for some reason, he couldn't put it away. So he took it home and he put it in his nightstand. And one night, because he read that, the Holy Spirit started to prick his heart and say, if you die right now, you'll go to hell. You're lost. You don't have Christ. And that night, he opened up his nightstand, pulled out that gospel tract, and said, I receive Christ as my Savior. Why? Because a man pulled over on the side of the road and said, here you go. I want you to know the best news that there is around. And you know how easy that was? That took 2 seconds. And now he's sharing the gospel with millions of people in the prisons across America. Man, it is our responsibility. And we get so caught up in the other stuff, me included. But for us, I mean, we're starting a brand new year here at our church, the year 2020. And praise the Lord, this could be the year Jesus comes back. And when He does, don't you want the people living beside you to go with us? So God, help us to share the gospel with the people that are around us. Listen, I told you there's at least 3,000 in a 4.5-mile radius based on the stats that they did. 3,000. If we just reach 10% of that, what is that, 300? 10% of 3,000? That's 300 people that we could reach. 300 that you could just tell them about the gospel. Now listen to what the Bible says. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel. He's not saying, look at them feet, ain't they pretty? Because they probably ain't. He's saying, man, when somebody brings the gospel to a town, a nation, a home, it's an amazing thing to see. Because what you just did was gave somebody the best news they've ever heard by telling them the gospel. Now listen, this is what I challenge you to do this morning. Every single one of you right now has somebody on your mind while I've been preaching. Somebody that you work with. Somebody that's your husband, wife, son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson. And you know they need the gospel. You know they need it. I challenge you this week. Share the gospel with one person. Before you come back to church on Sunday next week, share the gospel with one person. Ricky. Ricky, how many people are here today? If 107 people are here, If 107 people share the gospel with one person this week, guess what? That's 107 people who have heard the gospel this week. In 1 week. So I challenge you this week. Musicians, you can come. You can all stand to your feet. I challenge you. Before you come back to church next week, share it with one person. And you'll be so glad you did. Father, thank you for your word this morning. God, thank you for the great privilege that you've given us to be your mouthpiece, to share the truth of the gospel with people that are all around us every day. And God, right now there's people in our church that have the strong desire to share the gospel. They want to share the gospel, but God, they really don't know how. I pray that you, through the Holy Spirit of God, will give them the power to do just that. Give them the strength to do it. Give them the courage and the boldness to just go out and start talking, because you'll give them the words to say, to just share the best news that anybody's ever heard. So Lord, help us as we leave this place. Help us to know our responsibility to share the gospel. And Lord, just right now, if there may be one person in here who's never been reconciled to you, and today's the day, I pray they'll come down and they can know for sure whether when they die they'll go to heaven or not. So Lord, we love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.